Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Thanks for having me here. I always count it a privilege to come to Mountain Ridge. I do. I really do. And so you've given me a topic that's new to me. Normally, I am an evangelist, and I preach Christ and Him crucified wherever I go. And it's the gospel is ministry to the hearts of saints. It is. Lifting up Christ on the cross and gazing on Him, and we remember all that we've received as a result of the cross. The Old Testament's all pointing forward to Calvary, every whit of it. All the sacrifices that were made, I mean, we don't know, countless, and all the blood that was shed, and how particular they had to be with the blood, and so on, so on. It's all going forward to Calvary. And the Lord Jesus, He's in picture, type, and shadow. He's all through the Old Testament. And the Father is very jealous of those types and shadows, because they spoke of His Son. You know, we think of the two sons of Aaron, the very first two sons that went in there when they changed the compound. Everything in the Old Testament speaks of Christ. Those components and weights, everything. You look them up, they all speak of Christ. And He said, you don't change them. They're holy unto Me. They speak of My Son. And they changed them and went in, and God smote them. Jesus Christ was the rock. And He said, Moses, you smite that rock with the rod of judgment once, and water will come out. And He did that, and water came out, rivers of water. And then later on, they're complaining again about no thirst. He said, Moses, now you speak to the rock. And Moses got a little carried away with his emotions. He was angry, and so he smoked the rock twice. And he spoiled the type of Christ, you see, because Christ was only smitten once. Never again will there be Calvary. Nobody ever again will spit on that beautiful face of His or insult Him or taunt Him, never. And God said to Moses, because you've done that, there's a price to pay. You cannot go to the promised land. So we understand the whole Bible is about Christ. That's it. Calvary, pointing forward to Calvary. So I am an evangelist. And I understand that an evangelist, they're few. I know that. And when I was saved, on the day I was saved, April 29th, 1980, I remember well that day. It was very dramatic for me. God gave me a care and a love for others. First, within 5 minutes, I'm thinking of my wife. I say, she's not saved, and my mother and my father, and so on. And so onward it went from there. And that was me. That was me. God gave me a care for souls, and glory be to God. Nothing to do with me. And so I began telling others of Christ. You know, there's a park in the center of the city of St. John called King Squares. It's a beautiful park. And I work just off the park, and I see all these druggies hanging out there, and drunkards hanging out there, and people eating their lunch there. And I say to myself, I should go there and give them tracts. I should give them gospel tracts. And so I did. Nobody told me to. And the brethren were all sort of like looking at me like, who is this guy? Who's this Wade LeBlanc, 30 years old? Well, that was God. I thought your topic was a renewing your love for the lost, but I saw your boldness. It's renewing your vision for the lost. So from vision comes love. So this is new to me. I preach the gospel. Hey, so I do it every week. Actually, I'll just share this with you. Every week, my fourth year, weekly, I preach the gospel. 15 minutes. Facebook, 2 counts. And YouTube as well. Thousands and thousands and thousands all over the world. Okay? And it's every week, my fourth year. Preached yesterday at CMML in the library. Just so you know, the gospel. And that's really what. That's me. That's it. I'm the gospel, okay? So Maybe we'll just read Acts chapter 1. Just turn to Acts chapter 1 in your Bibles. We'll look at the first four verses of Acts chapter 1. I'm sorry, not Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 8. Sorry. Acts chapter 8. We're going to read Acts chapter 1 later, perhaps, but Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting on to his death, that Stephen, they stoned him to death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. This is the first church. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. There were at least 5,000, except the apostles. They weren't scattered abroad, just an ordinary Christians were. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every home, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Turn to Acts chapter Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. Maybe 17. For as much then as God gave them, the Gentiles, as Cornelius, the like gift as he hath given us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. How they which were scattered abroad, these are the same ones, upon the persecution that arose around Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were from Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Lord bless the reading of his word. I just wanted to show from this was normal Christian living, preaching the word. Who were they preaching the word to? It was just everybody all around them, They weren't focusing on themselves. They were just driven from their homes. And you can imagine, men and women, probably their children, they were driven from their homes. We don't know much more than that, where they went, what were they doing, but they weren't focusing on themselves. There was no, like, self-pity. They were so focused on Christ. The salvation was so new to them. They're Christ now. And they realized all those around them, they didn't know about Christ. And they went everywhere preaching the word. Then when they find out Gentiles are being saved, we read in Acts 11, now they go to the Gentiles. They're still preaching Christ. This is normal Christian living, is telling others. A vision to see others around me in their sins and to share with them what I have been given. Now they stopped. I'll just read this. You don't have to turn. This is the first church, and the Lord Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Their first love was Christ. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. And he talks about even removing the lampstand. It was very solemn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You left your first love, and their first love was him. They went everywhere telling others about him and what he's done for me and what he can do for you and what must be done for you. I'm not too organized here. I'm really sorry about this. Oh, yeah. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is an assembly in Thessalonica, and Paul says in chapter 1 to these saints, verse 7, from you is sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith the Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything, Paul's saying. We don't need to come there and preach the gospel, because you, brethren, are already doing it. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. So this was normal Christian living. Christians telling others about Christ. And I don't know what's happened. Maybe you could look at Laodicea and say the church has become lukewarm. I don't know what's happened. My life as an evangelist, I mean, I look at me, I say, well, I guess I'm different than most Christians, but I'm thinking, well, most Christians, why don't we see them? Why can't we see them? When I see people, everywhere I go, I've been down here just a week ago. My life, every day of my life, is just the gospel. This beautiful tract right there, large letter, for God so loved the world that he gave his own. There's John 3:16. And inside that tract, I got bad news for good people. How's that one? Bad news for good people. Yeah. I'll be going to Kenya 7th time, God willing, September the 20th. 6 weeks, going to 20 prisons over there preaching. And when I travel, I go on these planes and that, and in my pocket, all I have is that. Bad news for good people. Bad news. And, you know, people, even here sometimes, and they'll look at me, and they'll look down, look at me, they say, what's the bad news? What's the bad news? And I give them that. Now, you can read for yourself what the bad news is. When I see people, vision, I don't see people in the light of this world. It doesn't matter to me what kind of car you drive, where you live, whether you have a nice big house in a big suburb somewhere, or you live in a little house. Lots of money, no money, important person, you're a nobody, you're a pauper. I see everybody the same. I see you in the light of eternity. Everybody in the light of eternity, you're going to stand. If you die in your sins, you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, he's going to say, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. That's how I see everybody. Myself, I say, well, I'm an evangelist. Is that it? Well, I'm thinking, well, maybe just Christians, my dear brethren here this morning, my sisters and my brothers in Christ, is it not possible that maybe you could stir that up and maybe you too could see her, that cashier who just lied to you and said, I'm fine, thanks. She's probably not fine, thanks. People are sad. People are crying themselves asleep at night. That's what's going on all around us here. You know that? That's what's going on. The superstore, that's a supermarket where I live, and I'm always giving out tracts to all the cashiers. You can't overdo it. He that winneth souls is wise, okay? So I don't overdo it. But I see this cashier. I've given her a track in about three months. I can't leave my house without these, by the way. I can't leave my house without them. Got to have them. I'm halfway to the store. My tracks are in the car. I go back. Because they don't know. They're going to hell. The rich man died. This isn't a parable. The rich man died. He was buried and in hell. He's actually in hell. And he lifts up his eyes. He's in torment. It's Luke 16. That's their future. That's your neighbor's future. Those you work with, that's their future. That's where they're going. should that not touch me? Should not touch me at all? I have the truth in me. I have the truth. I have a message for you. It's a message of love. I came in that store. I'm the track was a peace. And I leave you a little something to read, peace. And she started crying. She said, peace. She said, I wish I had peace in my life right now. This is the cashier. They're all the same. People are out there, they turn to drugs. COVID did a lot of things to people's heads, I'll tell you that. And their outlook of life, they're thinking of God now. What's life all about anyway? Thinking about God and sin and dying. They are. They want the truth. They want it. They're seeking God. And if Christians are silent, how sad is that if we're silent, if we don't tell them? To me, passing out tracts is so simple. Since I've been down here, I've been all around Belmar, all these places, CVS and this store, that store, everywhere I go. And when I'm done, even the guys in the toll booth are paying for the tolls, I say, may I leave you something to read? And they look at me. They're surprised. Because who does that? May I leave you something to read? And the first thing I say is, this is from the Bible. The first thing I say, this is from the Bible. And their hand goes out. Their hand goes out. I'm speaking the truth now. Please hear me. They take it. They will take this. They'll take it in their hand. 100 people, 97 people will reach out their hand and take this. And there's John 3:16. If you're seeking if they're seeking, this will lead you to Christ. This will save them, their souls from hell. And so why am I doing that? Why am I doing that? Why am I giving them that? Well, for me, because I've already said, I don't see just a man or a woman. No. God made you for eternity. You're either going to be in heaven with him or you're going to be in the lake of fire. I don't mention these things, but I preach the gospel. I'm afraid to talk. I don't want to talk about those things. They're so horrible. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. In anger, that's anger. They're going to be angry all for eternity. Angry with God. I don't deserve to be here, Lord. Maybe angry with himself. Why didn't I listen when they talked to me? I don't know. It's an awful place. Luke 16 is terrible. Isn't it terrible? He knew what his brothers needed to do. Repent. He knew. But there he is. People will receive the gospel. They will receive it, all right? Let's turn to John chapter 4. Verse 34. And I don't expect, as I said, I don't expect Christians to have the feelings that I have, all right? I don't. To see as I see. But I'm bringing this before you because what about if you prayed? What about if you prayed about it? Said, Lord, I know the truth from the word of God. I know what's going on in this world. And there's eternity ahead. And I haven't even spoken to my neighbors once. I haven't even talked to them. People I work with. I don't tell anybody about Christ. I'm silent. They don't know about him. And they're going to perish. And Lord, you can use me. I can have a word in season with you, maybe. I say maybe people think I can't pass out a tract. Well, if you can't, I don't understand that part, really. I don't understand why you couldn't just say, may I leave you something to read? They'll take it, okay? They'll take it. Verse number 34 of John chapter 4. The timing of the Lord. The women knew he was the Messiah when she asked him. I know a Messiah cometh. I that speaketh unto thee am he. He said, I'm he. She left her water pot. That's her old life. She left her old life because been to the city. And she starts talking right away, doesn't she? To the men, they knew her. Come see a man. Come see a man. Then the disciples show up with the food. And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Why did the Father send the Son? In John 20, he said, as the Father sent me, into this world, I send you into this world. And look at that. Why did he come into this world? He came into this world for those around us. They're driving by us right now in their cars. I don't know where they are right now, but it's for them. It's for them. That's why he came. That's why the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. And sometimes I think we get caught up in our own lives. You know, my life. I like my life. I like the assembly. That's wonderful. The assembly's wonderful. We need the assembly. House of God. Fellowship together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. No. All these things are right and proper. My life. To raise my family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To raise them up. To live these ways. But not to be so focused on myself and me. What about them? And that is what Jesus Christ is speaking about right here in John 4. In the chapter where he revealed worship to that woman, Samaritan woman, which is amazing. Look at the next verse. I finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. Look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. You see what he's saying to his disciples? Lift up your eyes on the fields. What are the fields? The world. The world's the fields. He's directing his disciples to look and see them. See them as God sees them. How did God see them? He sent his only begotten Son. How did Christ see them? Well, we remembered this morning, didn't we, what he went through? The man of sorrows, acquainted with grief every day of his life. It was lived that way. He didn't show it on the outside. He didn't wear it on his sleeve, the sorrow. Or they wouldn't have come to him, would they? Even the children were attracted to him, Christ, his face. Look what he went through and how he suffered. How he suffered. And for one sinner, he said in Luke 15, he said, one sinner repents, all heaven rejoices. Is there anything else in the Bible that says I can make all heaven rejoice? No. Just lead one soul to Christ. One soul repents. He said, all heaven's rejoicing because one sinner repented and turned to Christ. So that's what he's telling them to do, is to turn. People, I think I might mention this before. I knock on the door Christmas time. I have these scripture calendars and Christmas tracts about Christ. Every afternoon in my life, I'm home. I'm knocking on doors. There's about 60,000 people around St. Stephen. I'm knocking on doors. Have you ever knocked on a door? Have you ever gone out and knocked on a door? That's exciting. It's exciting. I tell you right now, I don't know who's on the other side of that door. Who's on the other side of the door? In 2021, so far right now, I will say this to you. Over 45 people have come to Christ. I've witnessed them salvation, a divine appointment, knocking on the door right before my very eyes. God arranged this, the timing, and they were born again before my very eyes. Yes, they were. First time I knocked on a door, I'm going to help a brother. I didn't know what he meant, help him. They were having some gospel meetings. I was only saved about 6 months. He gave me this bunch of invitations and tracts. He said, I'll do this side of the street, and you do that side of the street. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, I didn't know anything. I'm only saved 6 months. He said, well, can you knock on a door? I said, yeah. Can you talk? Yeah. There's a meeting going on? Yeah. Then tell them, go. Meet at the end of the street. Man, I went in fear and trembling. I'll tell you, fear and trembling. I did that. First time in my life. But I just fell in love with it. And I find out the Lord Jesus Christ said their laborers are few. They're few. Pray. They go. See, there's no glory in that, is there? There's no glory. You're not being seen or heard. You're not on the platform preaching, see me, hear me. No, you're in the shadows now. You're in some little village knocking on the doors. But oh my, it's the most wonderful work a man can do. Most wonderful work a man can do. Lead a man to Christ. You believe that? He says, come in. I open the door. He's upstairs. He says, come on up. I go up. He's in a wheelchair. Had a car accident. He's paralyzed. If he could get out, he said, I wouldn't live the way I lived before. No, he said. And he's reading these books. I see the books he's reading, the salvation. And I said, are you sure of heaven, man? He said, can you be sure of heaven? I said, yes, you can be sure of heaven. That was a divine appointment. 10 minutes later, he's saved. Born again. That's a divine appointment. See, God sent me there at that time. Does he want to send you somewhere? Is there somebody he wants to send you to? See, the people out there are seeking. They're seeking him. They are. They're sad people. And they're seeking him. Here's the calendar, I said to my dear. And the door's dark. He's kind of dark in his eyes. I said, it speaks of God's love. And she started to cry. She said, well, I'm glad somebody loves me. I had to go in my car and cry. I'd have a cry in my car. How many people out there are crying themselves to sleep at night? These women. Their lives are turned upside down. They're wrecked. They're on drugs and drinking. People are committing suicide because they don't know him. They don't know him. It's him. All about Christ. That's what the early church was doing. They weren't focused on themselves, not at all. They were focused on them. And I believe in John 4, he's saying, lift up your eyes and look at the harvest and see them. And maybe at that time, all the men are coming onto him from that woman. Maybe you say, see them coming? You see them coming? All from one woman who said, come see a man. He's trying to stir these people up. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. The vision, he had vision, compassion, because they were sheep that had no shepherd. Mark 10, the man's coming to him. Jesus Christ knows you're going to reject me. You're going to choose his riches. But it says Jesus beholding him, really seeing him. See, the problem is, as Christians, sometimes we look right through people. We look right through people. We don't see them. Thanks for my receipt and my change. Bye-bye. I'm gone. I look right through them. I don't see them. God says, see them, have vision, see them. That's what's going on. He wants to use us. He wants to use the church, us people. We can do it. That word white in John 4 is glistening white. It's like, see them, be optimistic. Like we are lights in the world. See them as lights in the world. And be confident and go out there and witness wherever I am. Be conscious of the fact that maybe God put somebody in my life today to witness to them. And to show love to them, care for them. Jesus beholding him loved him. That's what it says. Jesus beholding him. What caused him to love him? The vision. He saw him. He saw this man. He loved them. Jesus loved everybody. Jesus beholding him loved him. It's about love. When I was witnessed to by my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, we heard he got religious. He was a college graduate, right, young guy. I didn't know what he'd gotten. I'd gone down the religious road. I studied two big religions. I said, nothing there, dead end. What does he have? And he showed me the Romans 3. He said, Wade, read out loud. And I was so shy as a man. I was so shy, I couldn't talk to two people at once. That was me. I said, I can't read out loud. You're kidding me. He said, I'll read for you. All sin comes short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. None good, no, not one. Wade, that's you. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. Well, I didn't like that very much. I tell you that. So who do you think you are? You're perfect? You're going to heaven, are you? He's sure of heaven. I knew he was. Nobody can say they're sure of heaven who's not. I learned that. Nobody will say to you, I know where I'm going, if they're not sure. Because they know they're lying to themselves and they're lying to God. He troubled me. He took me to some meetings. One day I'm sitting outside a great big cathedral. I'm eating a banana. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm big party the night before. And sitting behind 1,000 people. He drives by, him and his wife in a little car, and he saw me. He wheeled around in the middle of the street. And he drove up the big sidewalk, this huge cathedral. He drove his car up the sidewalk and parked beside me. And I'm looking at him. He said, "Wade, how you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing great, Dan." He knew I wasn't doing great. In my pocket was a Gideon's New Testament. And I'd signed it. I'm saved. And I said, I was trying to be a Christian. They could read their Bibles. I'll read my Bible. I have my cigarette in one hand, beer in the other, reading my Bible. I'm going to do what they do. I'm a Christian too. I convinced myself that I signed the New Testament. I said, "Look, Dan." And he took it. And he didn't look at me with any condemnation. He knew I wasn't saved. He knew I wasn't saved. He smiled and he said, "Look, Joni," showed his wife. He gave it back to me. And he invited me to the meeting Sunday night. And as he drove away, I said to myself, this was a turning point in my salvation. That man loves me. I knew it. I knew in my heart he loves me. That man loves me. And that's what really won me. I heard the gospel differently now, and I was saved not long after. They have to know it's love. Have love. To love them. To have love for them. Never mind the consequences. So they say, "No, get out of here." I have people say to me, "You can stop right there. I don't want Jesus' love. You can leave now. Bye-bye." That's all right. He was despised and rejected of men. I'm not afraid of rejection. What's that going to do? It doesn't matter. It didn't hurt me any. It's all right. Not much time left. I guess I want to read. This is a song, three stanzas. "What good am I if I know and don't do, if I see and don't say, and I look right through you? If I turn a deaf ear to the thundering sky, what good am I?" It's a Christian writing this. "What good am I while you softly weep, and I hear in my head what you say in your sleep? And I freeze in the moment like the rest who don't try. What good am I? What good am I if I say foolish things, and I laugh in the face of what sorrow brings, and I just turn my back while you silently die? What good am I?" That spoke to me. What good am I as a Christian? What good am I? I'm really enjoying my Christian life. That's wonderful. What good am I in this world? What good am I here? I'll read one more. You might know this guy. He's a singer, Michael Card. His song touched me. "When God walked among us in the fullness of time, he wept tears as old as the world. Acquainted with sorrow, he took up the cup and drank every drop of the poison that heals. So comes the call of this sorrowful man to set our small sadness aside, to come now and follow no matter the cost, to follow him boldly, redeeming the time. So open my eyes and open my heart and grant me the gift of your grieving, and awaken in me the compassion to weep just one of the tears of the world." I don't know if what I've done here, I don't know. I prayed about it. I just trust that maybe I've stirred somebody up here, just stir you up a little bit, just to see the field, see what's going on, see. That's why he came. He came for them. And they don't know what's going on. They don't know. I haven't got a clue. And that's why when they see for God so loved, they take it from me. Because maybe I can learn. They're seeking. They are seeking him. They're sad in their hearts. They're seeking. Keep that in your mind. They are seeking him. May God bless you. May God bless you, dear brothers and sisters. And again, thank you for having me here. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and the remembrance meeting we had. Father, we thank you to remember our Savior. What a Savior we have, Father. And he said, follow me. Give us great grace, Father, as that singer sang. We pray that we would have our eyes opened, Father, and we would do something about the state that people are in, Father, for they're seeking. They don't know where to turn, Father. So, Father, just bless us together. Bless us together, Father, that we would understand, Father, what's most important to you. What's most important to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father? We know what's most important to him, Father. It's the salvation of souls, Father. That's why heaven's door is still open, Father. Because you love. You love and you care. So we pray that we might have a greater love in our hearts, Father, greater love and care for those around us. We ask your blessing as we part and give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.